This is the Suns Front Office Show, presented by National Bank of Arizona, the only bank you need, and brought to you by Coors Light. This season, we climb, proud partner of the Phoenix Suns.
Our weekly visit with the interim general manager of the Phoenix Suns, James Jones. He joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. The Suns taking on the Detroit Pistons tomorrow. And joining us right now, the GM, the interim GM, James Jones, here on the Burns and Gamble Show. James, how are you this afternoon? Thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
How have you felt about your team overall? I mean, outside of this last game against the Bulls, where you were really shorthanded, you didn't have Tyler, you didn't have Kelly Oubre, you didn't have Rashawn. I mean, this team went through a stretch for a few weeks there where you guys played good basketball. You showed the fans what you're capable of doing.
Yeah, no, the Chicago game was a tough game. You know, we have some injuries, but I thought our guys tried to battle back in that game, even though we got down early. So I was pleased with the effort. But recently, we've had some big wins. You know, for a young team, that's something to build on. You know, every day the guys are coming in here with the focus to finish the season strong. And when you're winning and you're growing together and you're learning how to win, it makes it fun. So everyone's on the same page, from the coaching staff to the players to the front office. We need to finish this season strong, and that's kind of the tone for the next 10 games.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of winning as many games as you can. We've been through the, you know, losing games to get the lottery pick, and, you know, I just think it's more important right now to win basketball games, to break the culture of losing, to let the guys enjoy wins. I mean, they went through a two-week stretch where they beat – you know, they beat Golden State, and they beat Milwaukee and the Lakers and the Knicks and Miami, and there was a lot of good wins there. And I just think for a two-week span, it was a nice reprieve for the guys to see that they can win and to learn how to win.
Yeah, and we've been hit with a string of injuries, but our guys know that, you know, that's not an excuse to not compete and not perform. You know, so they've been putting in the work. They've been playing with energy, playing together, and, you know, that's the stuff you build on. So winning is important. Playing well and competing is important. And for our guys, they believe that we can finish this season strong, and that's what we'll do.
6-4 in your last 10 before the loss to the Bulls the other night, a game in which you did not have Kelly Oubre in that game. It sure did look, at least to my eyes, like there was a correlation between the two. Have you gotten to the point where Oubre's bottom line value to you on a nightly basis is that impactful in terms of his energy and what he brings on the court?
You see that. I mean, you can feel it when he's on the floor and when he's off. He just plays with so much force and aggressiveness and energy, and it's infectious. That's his personality, and we miss him, and you can see it, but it's on our guys to step up and kind of replicate that, you know, try to manufacture that as a collective group. But for sure, you notice when Kelly's out there, and we're just, you know, hopeful that he can get back at some point and bring that to us on the court.
Was it a little disappointing not to see that against the Bulls a couple of nights ago, that the guys weren't able to replicate that kind of energy that they were missing?
I think you speak to every player. You know, coaches down there, they'll tell you that it's disappointing when we can't play to the level that we've set in the recent weeks. You know, we have an expectation that regardless of who's on the floor, we can play at a certain level. We didn't do that the entire game against Chicago. We did it in spurts, but, you know, that's our new level of expectation, our new standard. Every guy that steps on the floor has to bring that level of energy.
What's your, with 10 games remaining, what's your thoughts on the type of season DeAndre Ayton has had as a rookie?
Yeah, it's been impressive. And I know, like, we came into this thing with great expectation for him, and he set a very high goals for himself, but as a rookie, you know, thrust into this situation, I think he's handled the highs pretty well and the lows very well also. So we just want to see him continue to grow. Defensively, he's made tremendous strides the last 2 weeks at a point in the season where a lot of rookies start to wind it down and fall off the cliff. I think he's getting better. He's getting stronger. His teammates are lifting him up and holding him down in those instances where he hasn't played well, and he's responded positively to, you know, criticism and praise. So the kid's special, and I think that, you know, if he continues on this track, he'll be a very, very good player in this league for a long time.
If you had a chance for a do-over, would he still be your pick at number one overall, or would you consider something else?
Not a question. You don't have to ask me that question. Like, he knows if we do this again 100 times, DeAndre Ayton's our guy. We just believe that much. We believe in him that much. And if you watch us closely and if you watch what we do as we integrate him more and he gets a bigger piece of the pie, I think you'll come to the realization that DeAndre is the guy for us.
I think it's clearly this kid's going to be special. I mean, I think he's going to be great. And his numbers, I mean, legitimately stack up with some of the best rookie centers that have ever been drafted. I mean, going back to, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon, I mean, his numbers, people may want him to do more, but statistically he is putting up some phenomenal numbers for a guy that doesn't have the ball and needs other people to get him the ball.
Yeah, he's putting in the work. I think you can't really see what DeAndre does every day in games just because that's not how we use him. That's not who he is for us right now. But in the future, going forward, as he becomes more comfortable, as he becomes, you know, a better playmaker off the dribble, off the pass, you know, in space, on the perimeter, I think you'll see all of the talents and gifts that he has become unlocked, and you'll see why he was the guy for us in the draft and would be that guy regardless of how many times we have a do-over.
James Jones, interim GM of the Phoenix Suns, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Suns of the Pistons tomorrow. I see where, getting back to Kelly for a second, I see where he's already been ruled out for tomorrow's game. Do you have, with 10 games left, do you have any kind of a timetable for when he might be back for you guys?
I mean, well, he's day-to-day. You know, he felt some discomfort following the back-to-back games against Houston and New Orleans this past weekend. So we're just going to monitor it and get some rehab. I mean, he'll come and get treatment and see how he feels. But you know, if Kelly can go, he'll go.
Everybody's wondering, with T.J. Warren only 10 games left to play, why you guys haven't just come down and shut him down. I mean, the feeling is that even if he comes back, he's going to be so limited. He hasn't played in so long. What could he really give you? With 10 games left, where are you? Are you still trying to get him back, or is that a pipe dream? It's likely that he's not going to play again this season.
No, he's working to get back, and we're pushing him, and he's pushing himself to get back. You know, collectively as a group, we all want him back. You know, there's, you know, we're fighting for something at the end of the season. You know, these guys have been grinding, and it's important for him, as one of our senior players, one of our leaders, one of our best players, to fight with these guys to the end. And you know, it'll be tough getting him up to you know, say prime shape and over the next 2 or 3 weeks, but it's important that as we wind down the season, everyone on the roster is together, is pulling together, is competing, because it's inspirational to see TJ finally get healthy and start to kind of pick it up, because that just means that our team is stronger, and we need that to finish the season.
The Pistons are within, Brooklyn's within 2 games of them, so's Miami, Orlando's within 4 games. Do you, you know, take any extra pride for the integrity of the game when you're playing a team like that that's battling for something, to give it everything you have?
Of course. That's, you know, you always want to come out and play and compete to win. But it gives you a little, you know, playing spoiler is good, especially for young teams. You know that your opponent's fighting for something, and if you can knock them off or take them out, it means that you're taking another team's best shot. So we're motivated to win, but we're also motivated to play spoiler.
James, we appreciate it as always. Who do you got in the tournament, by the way? What do you got?
The NCAA?
Yes, sir.
Final.
Yeah. Did you fill out a bracket?
Me? Yeah, I have a bracket. And I'll tell you, I like I'm a Roy Williams fan. I like Carolina. I think they're a very good team, a balanced team. If I had to pick a team, I'd probably say Carolina.
Okay. It's funny. I'm looking up right now at True TV, and there's a commercial with Roy Williams, so maybe you're on to something.
I got them in my Final Four. Maybe I got Carolina in my Final Four, James.
Maybe that's destiny right there. Maybe.
Maybe.
All right.
We'll see.
James, good stuff. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, got it. James Jones, interim general manager of the Phoenix Suns, joining us on the Culture Automotive Group Sports Line.